This morning, and then we'll go ahead and open our Bibles. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Going to continue on with our thought from last week on the seventh seal in you, part 2. Amen. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we want to just proclaim you, Lord, as our everything. And Lord, as we just come into this service, we're asking God that you come and speak to the hearts of your children, Lord. Lord, we know that we live in a tremendous time. Great things going on in this world. Time just folding up and eternity setting in. Lord, we just want to be able to absorb all that you have for us and to be all that you want us to be in this hour. And so, Lord, we're asking that you just take this service this morning in your hands, that you touch every heart, every life. Lord, meet your children with your word and address any situation, Lord, that's upon their hearts. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I would like to ask Sister Hannah if she would pull up another scripture for me in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, all the way through 14. Amen. That means happy in the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing like being a Christian. There's nothing like experiencing the Lord. Amen. And that's the desire we want for the whole world to have. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, God, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. I read that, you know, because, you know, we're so familiar with the fact that we call this eagle time. We're in eagle time, and we know that eagles give their young strong meat. But here in Hebrews chapter 5, and I like Hebrews. I really like it. But Paul is speaking here to the Hebrews, and you know, you'd think the Hebrews, if there was anybody that should have understood the things he was talking about, it should have been them.
Right. Yeah.
But here you find him telling them that there's a lot of things that he'd like to be able to speak to them, but he couldn't speak them to them because they were dull of hearing.
Right. Right.
And so he was speaking of the concept there of how Jesus was called with the same order as Melchizedek. And so Paul is saying, I'd like to talk to you about Melchizedek, but I can't really say a whole lot about it because you're dull of hearing. And the reason why they were dull of hearing is because they were steeped in tradition.
Right.
They had all kinds of traditions that had come in. And, you know, God doesn't consider his word as traditions.
No.
Right?
Right?
But when man brings in his own things and puts stuff in there, traditions, and tradition's good for one thing, and that's good to cause people to be guilty of vain worship. Right? Because Jesus said, you make the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of that in this day. And I will tell you, it is possible because we're humans also.
Right?
And we're just like all other people. And we like kind of strength in numbers and things like that. And, you know, faith calls you to go out into a place where you don't always feel comfortable. You don't always feel like you've got a whole lot of numbers to back you up. But if you know, faith tells you that with you and God, you're the majority, right? And so Paul is speaking this here to them, and he says, we didn't read it, but he goes on in chapter 6, he's saying there in 5, I can't speak these things to you because you're dull of hearing. But then he goes into chapter 6, and he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, because of this, because he's got a concept he's laying out here that he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, because he just told them that they were still in need of these basic things. Uh-huh. They're Hebrews. They should be able to have great things spoken to them. But he says, paraphrasing, nevertheless, we must go on.
Uh-huh.
Right? Regardless if you're dragging your feet, regardless if you're lagging behind, we must go on to perfection.
Right.
So he says, we're going to leave these things that are the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection. He right. said, we're not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Paul is saying, and I think about that in our day, just coming through different churches and different religious circles and so forth, you can see that these things that Paul is speaking of, the churches nowadays are very much okay with speaking about them. They talk to you all the time. There's all kinds of debates about baptism, and it's all the time, repent, repent, repent. But Paul is saying here is that we as a people of God, we can't just continue on and on and on
right.
and basic principles. And what that's saying is, and I think I was talking to Mary this morning, when the Word of God is spoken to you, it should change you. It should do
right.
something to you. And if it doesn't do something to you, there's something wrong. And so Paul is saying here, we cannot just stay right here. We've got to move on
right.
beyond just these principles. And I want to tell you, that's what the world, they just love the principles of the
right.
doctrine. Oh, they can talk all day long about that.
Right.
right? But they don't ever go on to the deep things of God.
Yep.
And so Paul, in other words, Paul is saying, I can't say these things to you, but he says, we're going to go on to perfection. In other words, we're going to go on to this place where we can talk about Melchizedek.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which, to me, means a whole lot today because we've been very privileged in this day to find out and understand all about Melchizedek.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we were able to see it done and demonstrated in our day. The discernment with his back turned and all the things like that.
Right.
So what I want to show you here is that here we are. We find ourselves in an age where the very thing that God is pulling out and demonstrating and showing us is the very thing that Paul said, I'd like to be able to give to them, but he couldn't. Right? Because they were all dull of hearing. And so we've been privileged to see those things today in our day.
Right.
And because, you know, a man can't do what we saw Brother Branham do. That wasn't a man. That was God coming down and performing that same act that he did there with Melchizedek, met Abraham, and when he discerned the thoughts of Sarah in her heart behind in the tent. And so he's just doing the same things there. So God wants us to be able to go back and tie back to that event and see how it comes to our day. And so the prophet was telling us that when Melchizedek met Abraham, What was he doing? He brought him communion, right? We know that.
Yeah.
But here's what Brother Ram was saying about communion is when you have communion, when God comes or when Melchizedek came and brought communion, Melchizedek, God is giving you part of himself. He's becoming one with you.
Right.
Communion, right?
Yeah.
And so when we find out here in this day that Melchizedek has come on the scene in our day, then it must be for the same reason.
Right.
See, Melchizedek came to Abraham, and the way Brother Branham described, he said he came to his victorious son. Because Abraham had already fought a battle.
Yeah.
Fought a battle on behalf of his fallen brother.
Right.
And so Melchizedek was coming to him, bringing his child, his victorious child, communion. So I like to look at it from this to say that's exactly what's happened today, that as he's coming in our day, as Melchizedek to us, there is a battle that's already ensued, there's a victory that's already been won, and the purpose of him coming here today is to do the same thing he did there. When he came there to Abraham at the tent door and he discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart, his that main purpose there was at that time was to strengthen Sarah, was to give her strength and encourage her to receive seed.
Yeah.
Right? So he would come in our day to do the same thing, a barren church, but to be able to perform this thing and show us that he's here to do the same thing. It is to encourage us so that we can now become birth Christ.
Right.
Amen? We believe that and know those things. And so God is giving us of himself, because husband, when he comes, his wife, they become one, they're giving to one another. So I say that because, you know, I've not harshly been criticized, but lightly been criticized in the past that we talk about the mysteries of God. But as you can see here, even Paul desired to go on into the deep things of God.
Right?
So, last week in speaking there, I read a quote where Brother Branham talked about that the seventh seal was the ending up of everything. And I don't have it present with me now, but he's talked about it's the end of the church age. It's in the end of the struggling world. It's the end of this. It's the end of that. And he said it's even the end of time. The seventh seal. It all ends up under the seventh seal.
Yeah.
And so that may seem kind of confusing, but I hope to try and maybe clarify that a little bit this morning. And may the Lord help us in this. So I want to say this, that when we're all done here, and we're all there on that other side in that kingdom, will there be pain there? Will there be sorrow there?
No.
Will there be deception there?
No.
Will there be war? Will there be tyrannical governments that make slaves out of its subjects? Won't be there.
No.
Will sin be there? No, sin won't be there. The church ages won't be there because they've already finished, right? Will time be there?
No.
See? So all of those things come to an end before we get there, right? And so they all have to come to naught. And so we know the prophet told us that the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord.
Right.
So when he comes, all those things have to go away.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so that all that's left When we get there, all that's left, all these kingdoms fall away, all these other things are gone, so that all that's left is Him. I mentioned, I think, last week, like Mount Transfiguration, whenever Jesus was taken up, and we know that was Him being brought into the adoption. And there Moses and Elijah appeared. And you remember the story how that they were frightened, and when they looked back up, Jesus was the only one left. But Moses passed off the scene, Elijah passed off the scene, but Christ was there. And the way the prophet lays this out to us, he tells us that, you know, that was obviously Jesus coming to His adoption, because in that place is where He said, "This is My beloved Son," He also said, "Hear ye Him." And so the prophet said that was a preview of the end time when the sons of God come to adoption here at the end time. This is going to repeat, right? This adoption ceremony is going to repeat. And so if that's the case, then there'd have to be a Moses present, Elijah present, Christ present, and then something's going to happen where Moses and Elijah go away and all that's left is Christ. All that's left is seventh seal. Because that's the coming of Christ, right? So it all has to pass away. Moses, the law. Elijah, the judgment or justice of God. All that has to pass away, because what God wanted to do was save His people, right? So when Christ comes, He does away with that. And so there on Mount Transfiguration, all that was left there was Jesus Christ, and all the others had passed away. No longer there. So, When here's the thing I want to get to and dwell on this for a while. When Jesus comes to any situation, He's the answer to that situation. Right? No, nothing can stand before Him, because when He comes, He solves the problem. So all problems pass away when He comes. Follow that? So when He's the seventh seal, everything has to pass away under that seventh seal. No matter what it is. No matter what kingdom it is. No matter what's going on. It all has to eventually end underneath His coming. And He comes in stages. Right? He comes in stages. So as He comes in stages, things pass away in stages.
Right?
He comes to you, and sin and unbelief and all these things pass away, but His coming to you is in stages, different levels, different strengths, and as that happens, things fall and you get better and more victorious. It's all in stages when He comes to you. So when He comes to this earth, it does the same thing. As He comes, things have to pass away. And so this is why the prophet says, and all, everything ends underneath that seventh seal. Right? Amen. So He's the answer to any problem when we have problems. When He comes, He is the answer. And so it makes sense to me why the prophet had to stand up in this day and say, the world is falling apart. And the reason why the world is falling apart is because He is descending.
That's right.
The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, which is a message, with a voice, which is the voice of the archangel to bring up the saints that are here, and then the trumpet of God, which will change us.
Right.
So all that's happening, it's a process of time. He's descending in a process of time coming, right. And as He's doing those things, and all this begins to come to pass, He's coming, and so things start passing away and passing away. They can't stand in His presence because they're actually the opposite of Him. Right? If He's light, then darkness has to go away when He comes. Right. If He's life, then death has to leave when He comes.
Right.
Right? If He's clarity and understanding, then confusion has to pass away as He comes.
Yeah.
So as He descends with a shout, then there's things that pass away from that. As He with a voice, then there's things that happen from that.
Right.
Follow me?
Right.
So it's a sequence of time that He's doing these things. And all these things have to pass away, and they're all doing that because He is descending.
That's right.
Amen. He's coming, and His coming, when He comes, it is a great day for some and a terrible day for others.
That's right.
All at the same time.
Right.
Right? And we know the scriptures tell us that.
Right.
So when he comes to seven church ages, what is he when he comes? To seven church ages that was all wrapped up in the man's nonsense and everything and all that was there. So when he comes, those seven ages have to cease.
Yep.
Right? So when he comes, he brings the bride age.
Yep, right.
Right?
Right.
He brings a bride age. He fixes what was wrong with the seven church ages.
That's
he fixes
right.
it, and the end product of that, of his coming, is to fix that, making it the bride age, not just the church. I'm not going to call you church, I'm going to call you bride.
Right.
His coming fixes that. His coming is that bride coming.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So those church ages pass away, right?
Right? Exactly.
Well, it passes away at a different time for you and a different time for you, but it's all happening to all of us. It's all passing away because he's coming in stages to all
right.
of us. And he's
right.
coming to this earth in stages.
Right.
So when he comes to the bride, what is he? He's the husband.
That's right.
Right? When he comes to the foolish virgin, because we know there's foolish virgin, there's three groups, right?
Yep.
Bride, wise virgin, then there's foolish virgin, and there's the whore, harlot system.
Yep.
So when he comes to bride, he's the husband. She gets to go in behind the door
right.
for the marriage.
Right.
At the same coming, what is he to the foolish virgin? He's a purging. Because they have to be purged, because they weren't part of the bride, but yet they're saved, so they have to be purged to be
right.
saved.
Right.
Right? So he's a purging. When he appears, he brings what they need to finish up that redemption of them. When he comes to the bride, he finishes up redemption for her. Right? When he comes, what is he going to be when he comes to the whore system and all the kings of the earth that had committed fornication with that whore system? What is he when he comes? When he comes to them, he's the judgment. Right? The same coming.
Right.
Right? Coming in stages. When he comes to all the nations and kingdoms of the world, what is he? He's the rock cut out of the mountain without hands.
Uh-huh.
That smites that whole Gentile kingdom uh-huh. in the feet, and it all passes away like off the chaff of a threshing floor.
Right?
Right? When he comes under that seventh seal, that's what he is to the kingdoms of this world. So no wonder the world is falling apart.
Right.
Right? No wonder they don't know which way to turn, because
right.
they're all hanging on to a kingdom that they're supposed to let go of and lay hold on him.
Right.
Right? That's the problem with people. They just won't hang on and grab hold to Christ. They want to hang on to their sin and
right.
hang on to their nonsense, and the whole thing, all other ground is sinking sand.
Right.
But on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. That's the difference. So when he comes to sickness, what is he? He's healing.
Right.
When he comes to death, what is he? He's eternal life.
That's right.
So when he comes, death has to leave.
Right.
Right? Sickness has to leave.
Right.
As he comes under the seventh seal, it all passes away.
Yep.
The end of this, the end of that, the end of everything else, all in stages underneath the seventh seal.
Yep.
When he comes to confusion, he brings clarity. So all these things have to pass away. They can't stand in his presence, because they really are the absence of him. You can't have death in you if life is in you. See? So Brother Bam tells us, and it's in the seventh seal, he says that this seventh seal is actually, he said, I'll try to go through a couple of places there in that sermon, but he said, all the way back in Genesis, you can see that seventh seal all the way through Genesis and
right.
all the way coming all the way up through. It's all there in the Bible. Remember Brother Bram talked about how that somebody said, well, with this kind of ministry you have, then God can reveal things to you that, you know, and tell us what these things are. And he said, no. It's already written. You can't add to it or take away.
Right.
So this thing, when those seven thunders uttered, and also we have the quote where Brother Bram said, those seven thunders, they are what holds that mystery,
uh-huh.
right? Now remember, John types the bride. John heard the seven thunders.
Uh-huh.
John was going to write it, but he was told not to. Why? It's a secret. But John heard it.
Right.
The bride gets it.
Yep.
right? But can't write it, can't share it, can't tell it, but she gets it.
Right.
Right? So you see the follow that? And so, Brother Brown was talking to us there in the scriptures, and he says, I think I lost my thought process there. So, he is the seventh seal, and he says it's all through the Bible. And all the way back into Genesis. It's all there. And John couldn't write about those things, but he heard it. And he said that seventh seal, the mystery of that seventh seal is in there, in those seven trumpets. So let me just lay it out like this to try and show you. Six is the number of man. Right? Six is the number of man. All right? So if we go through the first seal, first horse rider, we know that was a white horse, and that's how Satan went out to deceive. So he got a lot of the Gentile people all wrapped up in that. He was able to overcome them with deception. But then there were still some left that he didn't get. So he changes from his white horse, he gets on the red horse, he's got a sword, and he goes out and he begins to force people into his belief system, which takes it back to what Nimrod did. And so then that was first seal and second seal. Then under the third seal, you see where he's a measure wheat for a penny and 2 measures barley for a penny, and that's where that system had got so much control over men now that they got them all locked down either by deception or by forcing, and now he's got them all in his control, and he's going to charge them for what they claim to be the bread of life. And so they get rich. The whole thing gets rich from taking the money from the people under a religious system. That horse rider is the same rider, and he eventually goes through the horses, and he gets on a pale horse, and that's the end product of what the first, second, and third has done. That's the end product, and now he's got everybody wrapped up in that system, and he's taking them to death. And it's been in this day that it can only be given a name because there was a prophet on the scene to tell you, hey, organized religion is death.
Right.
It's been death all along,
but
now it's thoroughly identified in this. And so that's first, second, third, fourth horse rider.
Uh-huh.
Then we got the fifth seal. And that fifth seal was the souls under the altar. And Brother Graham talked about how that was the Jews who were blinded. And the Jews under the Holocaust, they were faithful to what they knew. And so they're given white robes. So what I want to show you now, this is the seals on the book of redemption.
Yep.
So it's going to reveal to you everybody that's saved in the New Testament, because it's a Lamb's book of life, and it's showing who's saved there, and it's a record of it. And so you have these first four seals talking about what Satan did among the Gentiles. Then you got a fifth seal that talks about how that they were blinded and what all happened to them, right? And so they get redeemed. And then it comes to the sixth seal, and the sixth seal is tribulation, judgment. And six is the number of man. And so when you follow the system of man, that's where you wind up. We all wind up underneath judgment, underneath man's system. And so you see the parallel there. So by the time we get to the sixth seal, you got a Gentile people here that are in need of overcoming that first, second, third, and fourth horse rider.
Yep.
Got Gentiles in need of overcoming that, and judgment's in hand. You got Jewish people who are there, and they need something, right? So Gentiles need something to come and be the answer to their problem. And you need the Jewish people, they need something to be the answer to their problem. And here we are in this day standing there, under the sixth seal, with judgment coming, the judgment of God is coming, but yet God's purpose is for Christ to be the answer, right? So that's where we're on the sixth seal. What we need is the seventh seal, right? We need the seventh seal. So when He comes, all that first, second, third, fourth horse, right? It's gonna go away. It's all gonna be done away, because when He comes, it's gonna obliterate that. Because he can't stand in His presence. It's the opposite of Him. And so when He comes, He gets rid of that. And same thing with the Jewish people. He'll be the answer to what they need. Right? So when the seven comes, when the seventh seal comes, when that happens, it takes away the effect of the six. It takes away what the first four horse riders did. It takes away what the fifth seal, everything, all the effects of that. When he comes, he gives white robes to them. He fixes it all up. They're fine. He comes. You follow me? Because he's the answer to what we need. Amen. No wonder the world's falling apart. He comes, number seven, he comes and takes care of the six. It's kind of like the woman at the well. She had five husbands and then she was with one. She was with her six. What did she need? She needed a seventh, right? She needed Christ. She was there in a, I'll say it this way, under a tribulation situation of her life all messed up. What she needed was the seventh seal to come and take away those issues of all those six prior to that. Amen. So when he comes, you see how he does these things. So when he comes here in this last day, then as he comes, everything that's not him gets done away with.
That's right.
So everything that's not him in you, as this word comes, gets rid of those things that's not him in you. So what all that's left in you is him.
Yep.
That's why the prophet could say, she is him.
That's right.
Right? So that's what he does. And you know, marriage demands that there is no flirting with anyone else after you're married. So to be married to Christ demands that there's no more denominational mindsets, no more filthy living, no more deception, but clarity.
Yeah.
Right? To be an expression of him, you think you'd have a king who's all, everything is just perfect, you know, and his wife's some filthy thing, just, you know, don't know. No. His wife is fitting to his character.
Right.
Amen. And so the way he comes to us today, he is our seventh seal.
Right.
And the way he came to us and comes to us this day is through the message. He is. The message is the seventh seal coming
That's
to us.
Right?
Right?
Exactly.
That's exactly right. So he That's is right. the message. And so when we see him in word form, that's what we're seeing. We don't see a man from 2,000 years ago, but we see the revelation of the word. We see him and what he's doing. If he was here
right.
in physical form, I could watch it. I could see what he's doing.
Right.
Right? He's not here in that form. He's here in revealed word form, and we're watching what he's doing.
Right.
We can see it. So we have a revelation of him. And so when we see him in his word, that is him revealing himself to you.
That's right.
Right? Or you wouldn't see it.
Right.
Now, it's a mystery to the world. But it's a secret. It's not a mystery to the bride anymore, but it is a secret.
Right.
Right? It is a secret.
Yeah.
And so that is him revealing himself to you. That is him coming to you, creating an invisible union
right.
with you.
Right.
When he's revealing himself to you. That is the seventh seal coming to you.
Right.
Now,
right.
Brother M said, don't try and put an interpretation on it. But like I said, once you've experienced it and you know what it is, but you can't give it to nobody else.
Uh-huh.
But you know, right? Because it's something that happened between you and him.
Right.
And that is an invisible union. So,
right.
when you see him as he's coming and him being the seventh seal, when you begin to see that, and what I'm trying to show you is that this message here at the end time, that is the coming of the Lord for us. That is our seventh seal. That is
That's
the
right.
thing that takes and does away with all the rest. Right? That's how he comes, through his revealed word. We're seeing him. We're married to him now. We're clothing ourselves with his prayer. We're now, when you understand, when we're clothed by his word. And so when this happens and you begin to see him, now you have this intricate, you know him, and you know, you're part of a body of believers throughout all ages that have had an experience with him throughout all ages. Right? So in all ages, as Christ came to them in their need, that was seventh seal to them. Right? To end their problem that fixes whatever. And so when you come into this revelation of his word now in this day, then you see in ways never before, you see how he came to those people in those past ages. Right? And when you see that, now you come into a place where now you can identify with those people like you couldn't before. Right?
Right.
And so, when this happens and you can see how he came to those people in previous ages, what you see, when you see him come to them, when you read the Bible and you see these stories and you hear it preached about, and you see how he came to them, what you're seeing is how he came to you in them. Because you're part of them and they're part of you.
Right?
Right? They had a seventh seal experience. You have a seventh seal experience. It was the same Christ that come to them to meet their need, same one that comes to us. And when you get caught up in the vortex of this whole plan of redemption and realize there's one Christ and there's his fold, and you're part of that fold, now you can see yourself in all those saints of old, how he came to them. So, to me, that brings a better understanding of how when Brother Branham said, that like being an American, I must be identified with all the things that America had, the glory and the shame. But then he says, so to be a Christian, I must be identified with Moses. I must be identified with David. Right? So it brings a new look on that when you realize that as you get caught up into this seventh seal relationship, you see him coming to you in them. When he went to them, you see yourself in them. That's why I've said so many times that when you look back through the Bible, you see Christ all through the Bible, but not very far from him through the Bible, you see his bride also.
Right.
She's there all there. And when we get this end time revelation of this caught up in the vortex of the seventh seal coming of the Lord to us, then it all opens the key to all those other things, and we see him coming to them, and it's almost like I was there. I must be identified. I can be identified. Because I was barren like Sarah. Right?
Right.
And now it brings a new level to us of this word. That we are in that word just like he is in that word.
Right.
And because we and they are all one body. And so we're identified in them. And so realize, how that in the saints of the Old Testament and different things, that how that maybe their life was a mystery, but when Christ came on the scene, he made sense of all that. Right? So now we know it wasn't confusion when David said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because when Jesus did, okay, I know what that is now. Right? Well, when this bride comes up over here at the end time and she rises up in a complete full revelation under her seventh seal, now she makes sense of all the things that happened throughout the bride, tied throughout all the ages. Now she is the identifier of that, and as he could go back and pull them out in a resurrection, then she comes out in this day and she does the same. It's her coming to this revelation that brings them up out of those previous ages in a resurrection. That's why Brother Brown said it takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans and the Wesleyan, the Pentecostals, and those down through the ages. It all hinges off of this seventh seal coming to a bride who that now all those people back there in Luther and Wesley, all their ages didn't come to perfection, but they're all laying there as it were, and they're watching. And when this end time bride rises up and catches a revelation and sees herself in Luther, in Wesley, then those that have gone on now that they realize their redemption is at hand because now they've got an entity here on the end that represents them.
Yeah.
The fullness. Right. Amen.
Right.
I'm trying to bring this the only way I know how. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we can now identify with them in ways not before. And when we see this, when we see this and we see Christ coming, he is to us, we see him coming to us as the same as he was coming to them in their need. When you see this, and it's a revelation, a vortex of this thing that God is unfolding, and you get caught up into it, and you're part of it.
Right?
Like Brother Biscoe, and he realized when he stuck his head in there, and they said, 42 inches, he's like, he realized he was in the vortex of the word coming to pass. When the bride realizes that, she's realized, well, now we're caught up and we see ourselves. We are the vision and it's coming to pass. Right. We're seeing ourselves act out the very word, and not only word for this day, but word that was in David and it was in Moses and it was in Abraham. Right. And now we look back and we see ourselves on all that. When you behold this, what you're looking at is the resurrection happening.
Right. Right.
You see them coming up in word form first. Which eventually will be physical. Uh-huh. Right?
Right?
So we're all looking for all the... There's a shout, a voice, a trump. It's all been going on.
Right.
And as we're caught up in that, that's exactly what's happening. Amen. I see those saints coming up. Luther and Wesley. I see them.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Amen. I'm identified with them.
Right. Right.
And when you see that, you're being caught up in that. You see the resurrection happening. And we're being caught up in the same vortex to meet them. As the scripture said, they'll rise. Right?
Right.
They'll rise and we'll be caught up together with them. In the word first.
Right.
Before it ever hits this.
Right.
Amen. We're in the hour of that revelation. That time is moving on us right now. That environment is happening right now.
Right.
Amen. When this happens, what you're seeing there and what you're hearing there is your theophany. Mm-hmm. You are seeing and hearing what you are in that revelation has now been brought to you at the coming of the seventh seal, Christ Jesus, to you, bringing to you your theophany. And we're standing here and we're surrounded by denominational teachings and all this stuff. And the prophet says, once you recognize that the word of God is eagle food, not this other stuff, right? He says, you leave the other thing. You quit feeding on those other things. You start feeding on the word of God, which is eagle food.
Yeah.
You have heard from your theophany. You've heard from that angelic being over there that's watching over you.
That's right.
That's why I said last week when Brother Branham in that pillar of fire, you could see that image of him. He was exactly acting out on platform what that theophany was.
Right?
Right. So we're now, we're seeing, we're hearing and seeing from our theophany. So this brings us to a level, to a place that we've not been before. For the first time now, because the word, that stage of the word has come, and that much of things have passed away in our life as he's coming stronger and stronger and stronger and more passing off that's not him. We're finally getting to the place where now we're getting caught up and we realize who we are.
That's right.
And we, for the first time, can now act out what we are.
Right.
Because we're beholding it. We're seeing, you know, without a vision, perish. We're seeing the vision.
That's right.
In the word. We're not prophets, but the word of the Lord has come to us.
Right.
And we see it.
Amen.
So we're not any, that's why a gift that Brother Branham would come in this day and he's like, can't pray for the child yet because the hat's not hanging on the hook yet.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right? But when you see the revelation of the word, say it, and it's there, and you see it, then you can act it out because it's the word, right? That's why the scripture said whenever the Joshua was taking the ark and he said, they're going to rise up, and when you see the priest, when you see the priest begin to take that ark, you rise up and you follow him. Right?
Right.
When you see the ministry preaching this revelation, when you see them begin to preach the journey and the path and the way to get there, when you see them rise up, then follow that preaching, that ministry that's preaching the word to you, because it's going to take you to a place you've never been before. That's what they said back then.
Amen.
That's what you see happening.
Right.
Right? God taking us to a place that the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian and Catholic and all them, none of them can take us to this place because they've never been there.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Right.
But we've got one that came down from there that knows the way back, has come, and has appeared in this day bringing these things to pass. Amen. Amen. We see and hear from our theophany, and we can now act out what he has revealed to us. So here's where we are today. The message and all the events that have unfolded in this message, in God unfolding it, that is the seventh seal. That is his coming to take his bride.
Yes, that's right.
In a secret, invisible union. We're clothing ourselves with that word, with him. I years ago, and I read this, and it always stuck out to me. When Abimelech, you know, was going to take Sarah, and you know, he got plagued and so forth, and he restored, said, "That man's my prophet." Gave his wife back. He said, "We could go look at it, but he's, I think, speaking to Sarah." He said, "Abraham is a covering of the eyes to you." That's what it said. How many remembers reading that? In other words, Abimelech says, "I wanted you for wife. I wanted to be able to look upon you. I wanted to be a partaker of it. But because God intervened, he said, you can't do that. He put Abraham there. I can't look at you. I can't touch you. I can't see you. Can't have nothing to do with you. Because every time I try, I see Abraham."
Right.
He's a covering between me and you. What he was saying, right?
Right.
It's a covering.
Right.
So when the bride wraps herself up in the word, in the clothing of the word, which is Christ, what should people see? And they say, "Well, I wanted to see who that was." All they want to talk about is this end time message.
That's right.
That's all I can see.
Amen. That's
why? Because he is a covering of the eyes.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
It's a marriage.
Right.
It's a covering of the eyes.
Right.
Right? Nobody else to look upon this bride. They can't understand these things unless they come into the secret place with him.
Yeah.
And that makes them bride. And there's no way you can tell them about that. If you do, you're perverted.
Yep.
In natural type spiritual, right?
Uh-huh. Right?
Don't cast your pearl before swine.
Right.
Amen. It's a very intimate moment that we have with Christ. We need to receive it as that and treat it as that.
Amen.
Amen. He is a covering of the eyes to us. See? And when we see these things, we see ourselves in Christ, and we see ourselves throughout all the ages.
Amen.
So, when he comes to us today, this message came to us and brought these things to us.
That's right.
When he comes, I see this message as it come to me. I see it as Christ,
absolutely,
as Melchizedek coming to Sarah, to Abraham, to encourage her. Right?
Right.
That's what I see. I see myself in that story.
Yes, that's right.
When I see him coming today, I see him as David coming to Abigail, who David is going to bring judgment, but Abigail comes out. Remember I talked about it last week, right? You know? And so she was under judgment because of her attitude toward the coming king, who was going to come and destroy them, all of them, including her. But because of her attitude toward that coming judgment and her humility, she became his wife. I see me in there. Right? I see you in there. I hope that we have the right attitude toward this word that's coming, that's causing the world to fall apart. Amen? Listen, these things may sound like judgment. They're not judgment to a person who surrenders their life to Christ. That's what we've been saying all along. Accept him, and you'll find out the condemnation leaves.
Right.
Right? Amen. We see him in our day as the message has come to me. It's Jesus coming to the woman at the well. We've had six church ages of nonsense, you know, and all here we are in this day, but he comes, he's the message of the seventh church age. The messenger comes, and it's Christ. He's the seventh seal to us. I see him coming to the woman caught in adultery. I see me in there. I see us in there. Right? She was caught in adultery. And the man with her. But they didn't bring the man. They just brought her. Amen. God just shows you that anybody who wants to operate under the law, they'll never be fair. They'll always reject some things and accept others. The only way to do it is just throw yourself into the grace and mercy of God and live in that. Right? And don't be judgmental. Amen? This coming of Christ to us in this day through this message, I see that as Boaz coming to Ruth. Ruth and Boaz, that's what I see. I see ourselves in that story. I see ourselves in Esther and the king of Ahasuerus and what all happened in there. Right. It's all there.
Right.
Haman trying to destroy him.
Yep.
That represents a Pentecostal because Haman built these gallows of 50, which represents Pentecost. Uh-huh. Not the real Pentecost, but what they did to Pentecost was not right. And he hung on his own devices.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
But I see those. We could go on and on. It's all, and this is why the prophet said that seventh seal, it's all through the Bible. What was it? It was Christ coming.
Right.
Coming to all of them. And now we're caught up in him coming to us, and we see it all because we're all, listen, it's an eternal thing. We're an eternal people. He is eternal God. And all this, when it's all over and done with, we're just taking us back to eternity where we were. And so
right,
while
amen.
We're here in time, when we begin to identify with these things, it's like I was there and it's like you're there. Because we're an eternal people. We experience that and we're identified in it. And Moses is in me. I was
right.
in Moses. You understand?
Because right.
it's one God and one foe, one people, one seventh seal coming to all of us.
Right.
In different stages. And it all passes away when it's all done. It's just him and us in that kingdom with him.
Right.
Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
So, it's a secret, even though we see it, but it is a secret.
Yeah.
We can't give it to somebody else. They only get it with the personal revelation of him.
Yeah.
Where they meet him in the secret of his tabernacle. Because that's what we're doing. We are meeting him in the secret of his tabernacle. And if you're students of the message, you catch what I'm saying there. The raptured text, Brother Branham read, was in a time of trouble, right?
Right.
In a time of trouble. He'll hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle.
Right.
Right? In a time of trouble. Let me take it back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six seals bringing us all to a place of judgment. We need something to come and hide us. In this time of trouble, and that's what it is. That's a rapture where he comes and takes us out of that and puts us in a secret place, though we're still here. We're still here physically, but in revelation, we're in that secret place. Right? And we dwell there, and that's all we want to see. We just want to inquire and see and behold his beauty in this revelation. Well, we'll be there someday in the physical, but right now, I just want to see him and his word. And I want to see him come to pass, his word come to pass in me. I want to be in that vortex of this thing that he's done. Amen. And so the only way people can have access is to be caught up in that secret place with him, in that to become that wife to the husband and have that secret consummation.
Amen.
Amen. So he is the seventh who comes and destroys the effects of the six. He comes as seven, and he destroys the effects of the six on the redeemed. But he also destroys all the wicked and gets rid of those too.
Yep.
Under the seventh. Amen. You know, the book, I said a while ago, the book of redemption, you know, it's all, you know, the saints of the Old Testament come out. When Jesus came out of the grave, right? So they came out. So now, this resurrection today, it's just going to be New Testament people, right? So this book of life, when these seals are opening, it's a record of those. And I just said a while ago, it's a record of the Gentile people and how that he saves us out of the Antichrist system. But it's also some people that are the Jewish people that died for their, you know, their testimonies and so forth because they were blind and sore. They're under the fifth seal. Right? So they're there too. Foolish virgin are there, right? They're there too. And so this record is of all these people in the New Testament, Gentiles. It's wise virgin, foolish virgin, and the blinded Jews. And all of them are recorded under these seals, right? So when the seventh seal, he comes, he addresses all of those that are under those six seals. Because the seventh that comes to that. And so, what you find out is that we're all under the judgment of everything that man has done and all that. And we're all sitting here under the sixth seal under judgment. But something needed to come to be our seventh seal to come and get us out. Okay? And so when you look in the scriptures, in the Bible, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, right? We're in judgment. We need something to happen, right? And so between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, you see a couple of things happen there. One is the judgment is at hand. Wars are coming, and this angel of sin says, "Hold it! Let's don't have so much chaotic war break out that we destroy the whole bunch. Hang on, we need to seal our servants. They're sitting here under a sixth seal, and they need to be sealed into Christ. They need to have something take them from this into the seventh." And so the Gentiles are there, and the Jews are there. And so it starts out there, right after the sixth seal in the scriptures. You see this, hold the wars, hold it. Let me seal these servants. And he seals 144,000 of the Jews, right? Physical Jews, we know that. They're sealed first, right? Then he sees another multitude, which no man could number. They're sealed. That's Gentiles. See, between 6 and 7, something has to come and pick up the Gentiles and pick up the Jews. And between both of those, between that, by the time that seventh seal gets here, the Jewish people get sealed and the Gentile people get sealed. Right? Then the prophet, he dwells on this. Then he goes and he tells us that the 6 and the 7 trumpets, and they go right along hand in hand with the seals. And so between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, right? Sixth trumpet, same thing. We're in need something to come and get us out of this situation. And the seventh trumpet is going to be that. The kingdoms of our Lord is going to be, right? And so if you read the scripture there, and between those two is Revelation 11, two prophets to the Jews to pick up the Jews. And Revelation 10, a prophet to pick up the Gentiles.
Yep.
Between 6th and 7th.
Right.
And that all happened and unfolded around World War I and World War II.
Uh-huh.
When a prophet was here. Right?
Right.
And World War I was stopped miraculously on November 11th at 11 o'clock in the morning. Make way for the 11th hour people. If you look at the 11th hour, that's parable. See, this is what happened.
Yep.
Right? This is what happened. And what I'm showing you is that we were in that situation and God sent. And of course, this still does have to happen to the Jews, okay? Those two prophets have to come. That's still unfolding to them. But for us as Gentile people, we've had that prophet come. He is right. The one that brought to us that seventh seal. He expressed the seventh seal. He introduced us to our husband as a marriage officer.
Yes,
right?
Man.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
This has already happened. This message is that coming.
Amen.
That we embrace. It is our seventh seal. It's just that it needs to be revealed to us.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that. That if you have that revelation, you know what I'm talking about. And I realize if you don't have the revelation, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? Because you've not been in that secret place yet. But I'm telling you, there is a place there. And brother, sister, once he touches you, you'll never be You'll never have to go back to that old way again. It will make the difference in your life. And I'm telling you, if it's wrong, the Lord just strike me now. It makes a difference once you come into contact with Him.
Right.
He becomes everything you need, and everything else just this world starts losing its hold on you.
That's right.
Amen. So that's what's happened between the sixth and seventh seal. There's both groups, and God addressed it. And between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there it is again. Both of them, Brother Bram said, and both of them prophets, all of them prophets, right? So, now I said, here's Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. That has to happen again. So we get over here and we say, oh, these two prophets in Revelation 11, that's Moses and Elijah. Okay, we understand that because of the nature of their ministry. We know that was what Moses and Elijah did.
Right.
And we know that that's to the Jews.
Right.
And so Moses and Elijah is going to come to those Jews, and we know that they're killed. Right? But what the end product is when all that's done is Christ. The Jews are going to come and realize Christ alone, it's Him. He's going to bring them to Himself. But Moses and Elijah have to come first.
Yep.
So that they can, that whole thing can unfold. But I tell you, that's already happened for us Gentiles.
Yep.
Because, and you hear Brother Graham talk about this down there in Life Tabernacle in Louisiana. And about a woman that had spoken in tongues and prophesied or whatever, and she had spoke some words that had been spoken many, many years, not knowing it was exactly the same thing. But I think it was the same woman. But anyway, he said that she spoke up, and I believe it was the case where he said it was like a machine gun going off the way she spoke or whatever. But anyway, what I'm getting to is that she said, "Thus saith the Lord." Within the space of 3 months, the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Christ will be ministering in this tabernacle. And Brother Branham said, and it happened just exact. So we understand that God has visited us in our day. And there was a Moses, a law to condemn us. And there was Elijah present because he had the anointing of Elijah. He could call fire. God said to the couple sitting there smooching on the front, said, whatever you wanted to speak.
Yeah.
He could have spoke and said, let flames come up out of the seat they're sitting on and consume them.
Yeah.
Right? But the prophet said, I forgive you. Why? Judgment passed away, but Christ prevailed.
Yep.
But I'm telling you that that's happened. That Moses and Elijah, that has happened to us. It's all done. It's already.
Amen.
There's, as the prophet said, there's nothing left except just the readiness of this bride. What does it mean for her to recognize these things have happened?
Yeah.
We've been wondering about the seventh seal, and it's been here all along. It just, it's just the seventh sealed book, but then there was a backside sealed, and it was kept silent, but she caught it, she heard it, God heard it.
That's it.
And so it comes, that revelation of that mystery comes to her. The rest of the world doesn't have it, but she has it.
That's right?
And now she knows who she is.
Yeah.
Because she sees herself in Him, and she's herself in all the scriptures,
right,
and all the people of all ages. We're all part of it, and we're all being caught up in this great revelation of the Word, of the coming of Christ.
Amen.
We see ourselves all in Him.
Amen.
It's right there.
Hallelujah.
That's all we need. That's all we need. Just throw ourselves to this thing.
Amen.
Lord, just do it. And burn me up anything about me that's not like you. Because at the seventh seal coming, that's what you do. You get rid of everything that's not you.
Amen.
Right? And that's the cry of our heart. You can't do it yourself. And much of the time you oppose yourself in what you want. But that's the desire. Lord, just replace everything in me that's not you with you. That's it. Amen. So, He comes to both Jews and Gentiles. Right? Between 6th and 7th. He comes, He shows you there. They get sealed, and to us, it was a prophet that came and brought it. That expressed and brought Christ to us. Now we're Christ. Right? One with Him.
That's right.
So, 7th seal to the Gentiles and 7th trumpet to the Jews. So then He sets up a millennium. 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years of peace. Do you know why 1,000 years? 1,000 years to prove that sin is over with.
Right.
Because God said, in the day you eat thereof, in the day you do that, you'll die. And every one of them died. Nobody's lived over 1,000 years. They all have died less than 1,000 years.
Right.
And because a day to the Lord is 1,000 years.
Right.
Methuselah was the oldest.
Yep.
969 or something like that.
Right.
No one has lived past. But when that curse is over with, all of us who find ourselves in the millennium will live beyond 1,000 years.
Amen.
To prove it.
Amen.
Follow me?
Hallelujah.
But here's the interesting thing. The millennium, 1,000 years, is still time. And so time has to be done away with Christ when he comes, because he's not time, he's eternity.
That's right.
So you find another stage of his coming where he comes and sets up the millennium and all that sort of thing.
Amen.
But there's one final stage when he comes that all things in time are done away with. He sits in and sets up eternity.
Yes.
Right? That's why the prophet said that even time itself ends underneath that seventh seal. Time ends in that come here. That level of coming of Christ to us ends it all. Right? Praise God.
Yes.
Why fear?
That's right.
Why? The only one who fear it is those who are resisting it. Just, if you don't understand it, cast yourself at his feet and say, God, I give you the whole thing. Make me understand this. Come to me. Reveal yourself to me.
Amen.
Amen. So the millennium is still time, and it has to be done away with.
That's right.
Amen. So he has to come to get rid of time, because he is, you know, he's eternity. So he comes in stages. And this is why the prophet said that seventh seal is like a rocket that goes up and explodes. Boom. Mm-hmm. And much five more, I think he said, five more comes out like that. And one of them explodes. And five more comes out of that. One of them explodes. He said, see, it all just fades away, fades away. Why? Christ coming. Boom. Several things come out and they fade away, but another one from that, another something else fades away. From that, another something else fades away until it's all over and done with. By the time all these stars explode and everything comes down, instead there's nothing left except Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Eternal life, the kingdom of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Totally, everything else gone.
Yes.
And it all happens under the presence of the very source of life. There is no other.
Right.
There is no other. It's just him. We need to understand there's only him. He's the only kingdom that's going to be left standing.
Right.
Right? And only the things that are conducive to expressing his kingdom will remain. All things that can be shaken will be shaken.
Right.
But you know what can't be shaken? Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Only.
See, and that's why this world's falling apart. That stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, it hit those, in the days of those kings, was in the days when that U-2 plane was shot down and that Khrushchev and Eisenhower had their summit over and he beat the shoe on the desk. It was in the days of those kings that mountain, that rock. What? The prophet was on the scene and the seals were about to be opened. What? That revelation is striking this world and all these Gentile kingdoms are crashing, falling to the ground and being blown away like chaff with the threshing floor.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, one of these days. I'm like, no, it's already happened. God's just trying to finally reveal it to us, so we just quit lagging around and we go ahead and we get with the program,
right?
That we start fully seeing that revelation of our theophany and begin to step into it and quit doubting that we can be what he's called us to be.
Amen. Right.
Quit doubting those things.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
And of course, Revelation 10. Time shall be no more.
Yep.
There you have it. There you have it. That Revelation 10, that coming to that Gentile bride. And he stands there and he says, time shall be no more.
Amen.
No more delay.
Right.
Right? No more delay. But no more of all this stuff that's in time that affects this bride. No more.
Right.
Right? Under this message, she's going to be set free from all those things, including time itself.
Yep.
Amen. Under the voice of that seventh angel.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That is his coming to the seven church ages, taking away that effect of time on his bride.
Amen.
And this is how we know who we are.
Right.
because he's given us that revelation.
Yes.
And she'll pull up 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and we'll end. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. But look at this. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How do you know he's in you? By the Spirit which he hath given us.
Yeah, right.
Right? And the Spirit and the Word can't be separated. They're one and the same.
Right.
See, this is such a pitfall for Pentecost to put so much emphasis on physical expressions, and they've missed the fact that there is a Word that goes with that, and the Word moved on. And they stayed with that expression and haven't moved, because now the expression is more than the tongues and prophecies and all that. It's more than that. It's moved on to maturity. It's moved on to meat. It's moved on, like we said at the beginning, it's moved on to what Paul said, I wish I could. It's moved to the place that now we can understand about Melchizedek. We do understand these things now. Amen. Right? We understand that it was Christ in all those. We're not tripped up on Godhead anymore. We're not questioning about how to baptize anymore. We don't, right? We don't think hell's eternal. We know Satan can't create. We know these things, right? Well, he's brought us to this place now where we understand, right? And so he's advanced away from that, and Pentecost stayed back here and focusing on that manifestation of the Word in that day, but the Word has moved on and they've rejected that. But now there is a manifestation of the Word for this day, and that's what God is calling us into.
Yeah.
Amen. To be that bride.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you love it?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you for being good pullers.
Amen.
This is a great big message. And you gotta be caught up in the Spirit of the Lord to catch these things.
That's right.
Right? You can't even preach this stuff. If the Lord's not helping you do it, right? You can't. And I can't preach it hard enough. Brother Daniel can't preach it hard enough. Nobody can come in here and preach it hard enough to get you to see it if you have not entered into that secret place.
Uh-huh.
But if you've entered into that secret place, you hear a different language coming.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
It's tongues to everybody else, but it's clear prophecy to you.
Yeah.
Right? And our modern events become clear to us now by the prophecies of the things that we see in the past.
Right.
Amen. Let's just let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. Sometimes we don't know what to say, Lord. But I am thankful, Lord, that you bring these things. Lord, as a man, as people walking with you, been around a while, especially a minister, we know that revelation comes in stages and cycles and waves, and we know when it comes, Lord, you bring it. It's not something a man could study, and Lord, it just don't come, and then all of a sudden one day it comes, and you bring it. And each time, Lord, it loosens off some of the things of this world. It loosens off unbeliefs, and every bit of us beginning to make us believe and trust more. Not of who you are so much, because we believe who you are.
Yeah.
But Lord, it helps us to believe who we are in you. And Lord, I just say, just keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing, Lord.
Yes.
We look out and see this hour and realize that it seems like the world can just totally blow to pieces anytime. War and chaos,
right,
worse than it already is. And those are signs of the time. But Lord, we know that those things will not happen, Lord, to the full extent until your bride is gone, because that's the whole purpose. You're behind those things. You're the one that held back war so that your people can be sealed, and you're the one that lets it come forth when it does. We just pray, God, that you allow us just to continue to be in your presence and experience you. And Lord, you'll change us, Lord, and as we see this revelation unfold, help us to step into what we behold. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. At the end, we got a song.